Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night, so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino is down there in Studio X. He'll pull the levers, push the buttons, flip the switches, all that good stuff, the stuff that I'm not smart enough to do. We, of course, are presented by our friends over at Dossett Big Four. Dossett Big Four, I mean, what more can I say? I've been saying it for weeks now. This is a 47-year legacy of service to the community at Dossett Big Four. There's a reason Dossett Big Four is the name to know if you're in North Mississippi trying to buy a car. If you are looking right now for a new or pre-owned vehicle, my friends at Dossett Big Four have got one for you. Visit them today, 628 South Gloucester Street, or you can check them out online, DossettBig4.com. All right, Starkville Regional, postseason baseball, back in Starkville. A lot of hand-wringing and gnashing of teeth on Sunday, as you know, a couple of our bigger baseball websites were playing around with their projections and took Mississippi State off the host line. I never really had any doubt that State was going to be going back to the last couple weeks of the season. The way everything had played out, even not getting the series win over Auburn, I thought State was in a good enough place. And then when they beat Missouri on Wednesday at the SEC tournament, I thought, okay, it's over. They're going to host. And just never saw them falling all the way out, and they didn't. And so for the first time since 2021, we have postseason baseball here in Starkville. We all know the teams at this point, Cincinnati, Louisiana, and Lipscomb. Mississippi State has already played Lipscomb this year, swept them earlier this season, had that crazy Sunday game against them where they won 26-0. Kamario Taylor, two touchdowns. Fluff Bothwell rushed for one in that one. This team now that it's back to full strength, and we talked to Coach O'Connor on Monday on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I asked him about Ryan McPherson, and he says basically he's full go. You know, they're gonna put him out there. We don't know the rotation yet. I don't think he'll throw Friday. I could be wrong about that, but I think you throw Duke Stone against Lipscomb on Friday, and then you've got Valinkas and McPherson ready to close that regional out for you. That's the way I would do it. They don't pay me $3 million a year to make those kind of decisions, but that's the way that I would go about it. McPherson being back in the lineup is what makes Mississippi State a very interesting team. Now, we've talked to two people in Sports Talk Mississippi. We talked to Kendall Rogers yesterday. We talked to Kyle Peterson today. In just a few minutes, you're going to hear my interview with Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball, and he says the same thing. McPherson is like the biggest X factor, not only in this regional, but in the entire tournament. Nobody else has a situation like this where you've got your Friday night ace has been out for, you know, 6-7 weeks. Go ahead and do it. And, you know, he's back to full strength. That gives Mississippi State an advantage. You know, Georgia, who you're probably going to see next week if you advance, they haven't faced Ryan McPherson. So that's something that works in State's favor. All of a sudden, they've got two guys that the 2027 draft would tell you are potential first rounders going out there for you. So I think, you know, the Mississippi State team we saw in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season is going to be a different one than we see in this regional. I thought State's bats heated up a lot at Texas A&M. Now, that's a park that's conducive to offense, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you can have a park that's conducive to offense and still not hit. State did hit the baseball really well out there. They put 12 runs up on the board in Hoover against Missouri. They hit the ball okay against Georgia. The problem is, and again, O'Connor kind of went over that one in our conversation, that they were unlucky with some of the, you know, they hit some line drives right at guys, and then they hit, you know, four double plays. But they got guys on base in that game. So I think the batting is starting to, you know, I shouldn't say starting to heat up, right? This is the postseason. You haven't heated up at this point. You're just cold. It's starting to round back into form is how I should say it. It's kind of getting back where it was early conference play before the Georgia series, quite honestly, where you get the – you're not just so home run reliant. You're having some manufactured runs. You're getting guys on base. You're hitting line drives. That's kind of where I feel they are. Do I think this team can make a run to Omaha? I'll just say this. It's kind of a two-sided coin for me in that – it's going to be really tough for Georgia. And so, and we're making the assumptions here, right? We're assuming that State wins this regional, that Georgia wins theirs, and State has to go to Athens. It's going to be tough to beat a team six times in 1 year, don't you think? If this was somehow messed around and this was Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Ole Miss fans would be saying that. They'd be like, it'd be really tough for State to beat us six times in 1 year. So that you have that going for you. The other side of that coin, though, is that Georgia's a really good baseball team. And State has just not been great this year against good teams, all right? I mean, there's just no getting around that. They lost to UCLA. They went home and home and split with USM. They lose 2 out of 3 to Arkansas. They lose 3 to Georgia, 3 to Tennessee, 2 out of 3 to Texas, 2 out of 3 to Auburn, 2 out of 3 to Texas A&M. The only good team they had any success against this year is Ole Miss. And that's just... I'm willing to chalk that up to, for whatever reason, Bianco just doesn't have success against Mississippi State anymore. It's going to be tough to win 2 games on the road at Athens. It's going to be tough to win this regional, if we're being totally honest. Cincinnati is a good team. We've been talking about them all week. They play a brand of baseball that you don't see a lot of. If you watch Kentucky, you see a lot of it, but they're super aggressive on the base paths. They make you make plays. They put the ball in play. They make you work defensively. Louisiana is a solid team. They're playing really good baseball right now. They finished out the regular season taking 2 out of 3 from Coastal and knocking them out of the hosting discussion. Then they made it all the way to the finals of the Sun Belt Tournament where they lost to USM. Good quality baseball program. So, you know, it's not a given by any stretch of the imagination that Mississippi State is going to advance out of this regional. It's not a given that Georgia is going to advance, although their path is much easier over there in Athens. But it appears like we're on a collision course for a third round between Mississippi State and Georgia. And if that's the case, I guess you could, or you could say a fifth and sixth round between those two schools. And if that's the case, I do feel like Mississippi State, at least, I know they have a puncher's chance. They may have more than that. Because all of these games with Georgia have been competitive. State hasn't been blown out in any of them. It's not like this, you know, the Sunday game against Auburn, which got out of hand so quickly or anything like that. They had opportunities to win every game they've played against Georgia this year. And then you have the added bonus of getting Ryan McPherson, who, you know, that was your Friday night guy. That was the first pitcher you were going to throw. I'm interested to see how the rotation sets up. I assume we'll learn that tomorrow. They'll announce the rotation. You can't throw McPherson or Valinkas, in my opinion, game one. You have to trust Stone. And quite honestly, if you wanted to go deeper in the bullpen, you should be able to score enough runs that it doesn't really make a difference. You know, maybe a situation where you can put 5 or 6 runs on the board in the first couple innings and, you know, patch it together. Obviously, you don't want to extend anybody. You don't want to, you know, use up your bullpen there. But, boy, if there was a way you could keep Stone for a potential, you know, fourth game if you somehow lost one, that would be incredible. I don't think you take that chance. Probably just go with Stone. He'll be fine. He'll get you, you know, 5, 6, 7 innings against this Lipscomb team, and then you're good to go against, you know, you hopefully, A, the best hope would be that you can run rule Lipscomb, but if not, just to make it where you're not going through more than 2 pitchers in a game. You know, Stone gets you into the 6th, and then you give it to somebody for the next 2 innings, and you call it a day. That's the best case scenario for Mississippi State. So we will see. The NCAA tournament, I'm just glad it's back, guys. I mean, I've said this many times. Mississippi State did not spend $60+ million to have a stadium that was empty in June. And it was built to host postseason baseball. And Mississippi State has made the commitment and you know, put the resources together and put the money together to have a team. Yeah. And look, this team probably, you know, you look at the preseason expectations, probably should be in hosting next weekend as well. They're not going to be, unless something really weird happens out in Athens. But just getting a regional back in Starkville is a great first step for Brian O'Connor in his tenure year. Next year, the expectations will be to host all the way through to Omaha. We'll see if that can happen. All right, what we got on tonight's show? We got quite a bit. You're about to hear my interview with Mark Etheridge from D1 Baseball. He joined us on the podcast. I got him to go in-depth a little bit on the process of making regional projections and why did they take state out and how did state end up back in. So we'll do that. After that, we're going to talk to Coach Samantha Ricketts. She is a woman of her word. She said she would come back if they advanced. They did advance, and now we're in the Women's College World Series. So Coach Samantha Ricketts will join us after that. And then we'll wrap up with some football. Got some kickoff times today. We'll talk about when state will be playing week 1, 2, and 3. Hey, tomorrow, if you're going to be in Starkville, I'll be live at Boardtown Pizza and Pints for a special live Thunder and Lightning, 1 o'clock p.m. And if you're not going to be here, you can always download the Super Talk app and listen on 100.9 WKBB. 1 to 2, Thunder and Lightning live from Boardtown Pizza and Pints. All right, we'll go back and talk to Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
America's 200.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
All right, back here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. We are presented by Dossett Big Four in Tupelo. Earlier this week, I caught up with D1 Baseball's Mark Etheridge. He's kind of their bracketologist, per se, and I wanted to get his thoughts on how they put that together, plus his thoughts on the Starkville Regional. We'll go down to that conversation with Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball. Let's talk some baseball. Let's talk some brackets with the man from D1 Baseball who knows all about that, Mark Etheridge. And Mark, you try to start a fire over here. You try to start a riot in Starkville on Sunday when that bracket came out. Sort of talk us through the process there of, you know, Saturday evening, state still in the hosting discussion. Saturday or Sunday morning, it looks like maybe it's turning the other way. And then by the time we get to Sunday evening, state's back in as a host. Talk us through the process there of what you were hearing and why the decisions that you made.
Yeah, I mean, we had 17 teams that we felt were host worthy. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to decide between West Virginia, Kansas, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. And as we went through there, we saw that West Virginia and Kansas were destined to meet in the Big 12 final. We felt like they would both get spots. Mm-hmm. And so that led us to compare Mississippi State and Arkansas. And really what it did, it came down to an exercise in what do you value? Okay. So with Mississippi State, you had a less than stellar record against the best teams, but a great record against the bad teams, okay? Arkansas was kind of the reverse.
Right.
They had a really good quad one record. I pull it up here, 16-12 mm-hmm. compared to 9-14 for Mississippi State. They had the head-to-head series win. They had 20 conference wins. But they lost some games, right? They lost 2 in quad 3, 3 in quad 4. And as a result, their RPI was lower because of that. Mm-hmm. And the committee felt that those bad losses, that was a big difference in that. Now the other piece of this is the regional advisory committees, which are coaches who rank the teams in their area, went through. And they had Mississippi State ahead of Arkansas pretty much all year. And honestly, from the eye test, so did I, until about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas made that move, and they were really close at that point. So then the eye test was close. So then it was more about resume.
Yeah.
And as a group, we went for high-end wins versus the lack of, you know, bad losses.
Yeah.
So that was the process.
And let me ask you this. I've said this for a few years now, but seeing what happened this week, does it kind of add some credence to the idea that the SEC tournament, great event, a lot of fun, but unless you're on the bubble, it's ultimately kind of meaningless?
Yeah, sure looks that way. I do think that depending on the situation, there are some exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
I think had Ole Miss gone on a run like Arkansas did, mm-hmm. their resume is a little different. Their strength of schedule was better. That might have mattered to them. Now, not ahead of Mississippi State. I think the 4-0 would have been a starter. But I do think maybe they could have pushed someone else on, especially if the Big 12 would have ended differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I think that would have been that rare occasion where a team needs conference wins and could have got those because they look at the aggregate win total in conference.
When we look at the Starkville Regional, we really may get one of the better pitching matchups of the first round, but that won't be when Mississippi State plays. Yeah. It'll be the Cincinnati-Louisiana game. These three teams, you know, Lipscomb is a team we've already seen here in Starkville, that crazy 26-0 game on a Sunday. But Cincinnati and Louisiana's playing really good baseball right now. They had a good run there to finish out the Sun Belt. Cincinnati's been a really good team in the Big 12 this year. What do you like about those two teams in particular? What makes you, what if I said one of those two teams is going to upset Mississippi State, why would they do it?
Well, Cincinnati, I saw them earlier this year when they beat Auburn. They mm-hmm. played a midweek game and kind of handled them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that my takeaway from that is Jordan Bischel, their head coach, plays a unique style of baseball. They are very aggressive. They bunt. They hit and run. They steal bases. They've got some thump. But it's more a couple of guys hitting the homers and everybody else is just running like crazy. Mm-hmm. So catcher is going to be really important. Infield defense is going to be important because they're going to apply pressure. And I think that's, you know, especially you get in the postseason and everybody the game speed up just a little bit and you have the big crowd and you're wanting to impress and it's easy to make a mistake. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. So that would be one way that I could see Cincinnati having success. Well, Louisiana, you mentioned it. They played really well down the stretch. We didn't have them in the field maybe 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and they moved up, and you can make a case they should be a two seed. I think Mississippi State kind of got a rough draw there because you got a pair of two seeds. Mm-hmm. Even though you got a four, I mean, that's kind of – it was kind of a harsh move sending Lipscomb back to Starkville based on what happened before. Somebody had a sense of humor, a cruel one. I do think that Mississippi State should be able to just bludgeon them in that opening game. I don't know if pitch off is the right word because you might just be cautious mm-hmm. with it and use somebody for a couple innings and then see how the offense goes. And maybe you need to stay with them mm-hmm. or maybe you can hold them in case you need them, you know, on Monday.
Yeah, that's been a thought of mine, that, you know, how State will attack this from a pitching perspective. Obviously, don't expect to see Valinkas. Really don't expect to see McPherson. Mm-hmm. In the first game, but Duke Stone, or do they maybe even want to go deeper into the bullpen, could be a possibility. Let's talk about what Mississippi State is now that appears Ryan McPherson is fully back. Mm-hmm. Through a simulator game or however you want to call it, a scrimmage on Saturday, I talked to O'Connor yesterday, said he's full go. They can put him out there and they don't have to worry about managing a pitch count or anything like that. You know, this Mississippi State team, I think if they had McPherson the whole season, would have probably squared away that hosting discussion a lot earlier. Is this a different team now? Do you see this as a team that can not only compete to win this regional, but can go to Georgia in a week and possibly come out of there and go back to Omaha?
Yeah, the ceiling's higher, no doubt. That was the concern over the last few weeks is, you know, after Friday, what does the pitching look like? And you know, certainly Stone's had some moments, but it seemed like, you know, he'll have two or three good innings and then he'll have a bad one.
Yeah,
and it gets away from him, but it's in there. I mean, that's a really talented kid, and you always see these great stories of a talented.
All right, y'all, we're gonna make
putting it together during the postseason. I do think that McPherson does change the look. I also like the fact that, you know, Jacob Parker, freshman, it just continues to get better. He's not a freshman anymore, and he could be that kind of. This could be his coming out party to the rest of the country, right? That doesn't follow it as close as we do. But I like where Mississippi State is from an age standpoint. I think they'll handle the moments. A lot of older players, but there's some really talented young kids who, you know, who've grown up over the course of the year and have a chance to really shine.
It's kind of interesting to see the betting odds. You know, State, as you said, was one of the last teams kind of locked mm-hmm. into a host spot. But then you see odds to win the national championship. I think State was fifth. From FanDuel. I mean, there's obviously a lot of people who see what this team, you know, from a talent perspective can be. Who's the player in this regional that could make the biggest difference? Is it McPherson, or is there another player that you've got an eye on? You say, hey, if he shows up for Mississippi State, that's going to go a long way for them.
Yeah, for D1, we're breaking down all of the 16 regionals. And, of course, I got the Starkville one since I'm heading over there this week. And we have something called the X Factor, mm-hmm. and it's Ryan McPherson. I mean, it
is. You guys stole that from this podcast. We do it every week.
Yeah, well, that's the category. And he's going to be it, although I was tempted to go with just the whole dude effect, right? Because that will be different, because everyone thinks that they're ready for it.
Playing, goodness.
Yeah, gracious. And it's an 8 o'clock start. I mean, people have been grilling and imbibing all day. It's going to be electric, and I can't wait to see it. But I do think that can impact. I mean, no one can prepare for it until you've been in it, and it's going to be quite the atmosphere.
From a just an overall tournament standpoint, who's what's the regional where you're the most confident that the number one seed's not going to win it?
Not going to win it. Okay. That's a good question.
Mine might upset some of my listeners, but I'm pretty sure Ole Miss is coming out of Lincoln.
Yeah, that would be on my short list as well. And I like Arkansas and Lawrence. Mm-hmm, Kansas, first-time host. Mm-hmm. Arkansas is a veteran team. Went to Omaha last year. A lot of those guys back, and they're playing well right now. Mm-hmm. Those would be two. Maybe another one to keep an eye on. North Carolina is really good, but if Tennessee can stay in the winner's bracket, that's a talented team. A lot of them are young, and they don't have a lot of pitching depth, but the ones they have are really good, and they could absolutely – if somebody's going to lose in that top, you know, five, six teams, that would be my pick.
Wow. Going to be an interesting weekend here in Starkville, and Mark will be here in the press box with us. Looking forward to seeing you up there, buddy, and ready for the best time of year for college baseball.
Can't wait. It's going to be a blast.
When we come back, we're going right back to it. Coach Samantha Ricketts is going to join us, and she's going to talk about her team headed to the Women's College World Series for the first time in school history. Historic wins over the weekend. We'll do that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning live on Super Talk Mississippi.
Finding great thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, back here on Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Mississippi State made history this past weekend. A first ever trip to the Women's College World Series, courtesy of taking the Super Regional at Oklahoma. I caught up with softball coach Samantha Ricketts. Let's go down to that. Let it never be said that Samantha Ricketts is not a woman of her word. As we finished up our interview last week, I said, all right, if y'all win, you got to come back. And she said, absolutely, I will. So here she is, Coach Samantha Ricketts, live at the Women's College World Series. My first question is a very important one because it affects not only me and you, but all of mankind. Can we eat broccoli? Are we allowed to eat it?
Absolutely. We're having it for the team dinner the night before game day. We've got it in all forms. Cooked. Okay. We steamed it in the dugout the other day. It was so hot. Raw, whatever it takes.
Well, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Strange Brew Coffee House is putting out our Churn and Spoon is putting out a broccoli flavored ice cream. I am supposed to go try it tomorrow. I will report back. I will tag you in my review of the broccoli ice cream. You know, it, as a coach, it would have been emotional enough to go to your first Women's College World Series as the head coach here at Mississippi State. To do it at Oklahoma, at your alma mater, with everything else that's going on there, how did you manage the emotions of Sunday afternoon?
I mean, it was honestly surreal. It was just, I think the first 5 minutes I didn't say anything besides, oh my God, just trying to comprehend the moment, not just for myself, but for this team and for this program. And then obviously with it being Coach Gasso and that program is always tough as well. But just, you know, she said, if it can't be us, it needs to be you. Good luck. You know, she was exactly the, you know, who I thought she would be in that moment, and just very thankful for her guidance and her influence on my career. And then at the same time, just very excited for this program and for this opportunity we have in front of us.
So, you know, I know you're a fan of the game, obviously. You know, I don't think you're one of those people who's like, once my team gets eliminated, I'm done watching the sport for right now. You watch the Women's College World Series. What has it been like seeing Mississippi State on the graphics and seeing stuff all over town welcoming Mississippi State?
And it's just, you know, something I think you always strive for as a coach. And when we're watching it, like, man, you know, we want to be there. That's the goal. This is what we want to do. And for it to come to fruition and in this moment with this group, and you've got Delaney and Peja and Nadia just all over town. And really, you know, the last, I don't even know what day it is anymore, but 48 hours in trying to get everything planned for this week, like the amount of directions everybody's being pulled in, like it's a lot. So I think for us right now, it's about being in the moment, enjoying this, celebrating it, but then knowing that as we get closer to Thursday, that we still have a job to do and we got to be able to lock back in.
So that was going to be one of my questions a little later, but we'll do it right now. Obviously, this is a moment where you want your team to soak it in. You want to have that enjoyment of we're at the College World Series, but at the same time, there's still a job to do. I always think of Kobe Bryant at that press conference, like job's not done kind of moment. But at the same time, you want to have the fun of college sports. As a coach, how do you balance that? What's the message to your players? Hey, take all this in, but we still have a job to do.
Yeah, that was really the message yesterday. We did a little short practice just really to get them moving. And it was really, I told them one thing that this group has done really well all year long is they know when to lock in and when to have fun and let loose. And, you know, I think you even saw that in the game on Sunday. Like it was, you know, to date, the biggest game of maybe in program history. And they were loose and having fun and just being themselves. And so I think that's kind of just the same thing. Like, let's keep doing what we do best and enjoy being around each other, be present in the moment. And then as we get closer in our preparation, we know that we have continued to have work in front of us that we need to prepare for.
It's almost like you're reading my questions off my sheet, Coach, because you just hit on something else there. In the last 10 days, you've been involved in three of the biggest wins, obviously in your program's history, but more than that, in Mississippi State sports history. I would put what happened on Sunday in the same tier as State, you know, winning in the College World Series for the men, Morgan Williams shot to beat UConn, so on and so forth. It's in that tier. Mm-hmm. As a coach, can you have that moment of, I did that. We did that. Can you, especially again, when it's not over yet, can you take stock of what you've done?
I mean, I don't think it's truly hit us yet because we are so much on, there's still work in front of us that we need to do. Obviously we did enjoy it. We did a really good job of celebrating. We had the team together. We invited all the families, took over a restaurant in Norman. And, you know, just as we're kind of watching it back on TV and they're listing all the stats and, you know, everything they talked about, just how it hadn't been done in so many years. It's really cool to think about. But I think just the magnitude of it all, no, it's probably something after we're done with all this that we'll look back and be like, well, that was really big, wasn't it?
The stats coming out of this have been ludicrous. Like, it's some video game kind of stuff. If I read your resume right, you went to the College World Series once as a GA while you were at Oklahoma. So yes, you have some experience there, but not a ton. You have someone on your staff who's got a whole bunch of experience and in this moment and in Coach Moat McKinney and what she's been able to do as a player. Do you, in a week like this, do you rely on her just a little bit more to be like, hey, we need you to explain to these players what we're going to be going through here?
See, now you're reading my mind because that's exactly the conversation that we had yesterday. You know, we circled back once we got checked in, back to our hotel, had just another kind of staff meeting, things we wanted to look forward towards the week and what our plan was for everything. And Wednesday, we're going to kind of get everybody locked back in and she's going to address the team on exactly that, just what to expect from this week, what the environment is like, how to enjoy it and be in the moment when it is on this stage. But it's exactly the reason that I hired her, just knowing that Coach T has been on the stage as both a player and a coach. And you know, that can't be understated, just how difficult that is. And what she's done over the course of her career is just really special. And I'm very thankful to have her be a part of this journey for us. And she kind of even talked us through it in our meeting yesterday. It's like, hey, I asked her, I said, what are we missing? Like, you know, we're going through the manual, we're we're trying to plan everything. I said, what are we missing that's not something that maybe we would read here that you think we need to make sure that we're prepared for?
I'm going to make you, you know, pick your favorite kid kind of moment here, because as terms of a pitching performance, I'm not worried about the stakes of the game. I know that Sunday's win was bigger. Just in terms of a pitching performance, though, Faircloth no hitter or Everett shutout on Sunday?
I mean, I don't think I can pick. I think they're just both just unreal performances. What Alyssa did at Oregon against the seeded host team, just, I think, also something you don't see that's ever done before. And then Delaney, just, I mean, again, how do you choose? That moment is just unbelievable for, you know, a pitcher who's been here, who's been through so much over the course of her career, who's only thrown 12 innings this year, and to get the start and then just to absolutely gut it out the way she did is just, I'm so proud of both of them. But I think obviously that Delaney moment with what that game meant for this program in that moment is always going to be probably the one that stands out the most to all of us.
I don't know what it is about Mississippi State sports that allows the university as a whole to create slogans off of every great win. But we've got, you know, we don't have fans, your family. We've got praise the Lord and go dogs. We've got all this. Now we've got an underdog is still a freaking dog. When are the t-shirts going to get printed?
Listen, we're trying. We said we should have trademarked that.
That should have been the first thing you did, call a lawyer.
Should have. Yeah, but we're working on them right now. Mossy Oak helped us out with the Starkville versus everybody when we traveled out here. And, you know, we're trying to get something turned around pretty quick for the girls for this week as well.
Your team this year, we'll be nice. We'll say it was a team that won a lot of games with pitching. That hitting this year was an issue for your team at times. Then you go put 11 runs on the board. You come from behind twice on Friday. Then you put up 6 runs on Oklahoma. Where's the offense coming from? What is this late season surge? And should we just give you all the credit for it?
No, you know, we were just saving them for the right time. That's all we were doing over here. No, I think it really, all of this started probably about a month ago through those last couple weeks of SEC play, where it was a struggle to score some runs and there were some really frustrating losses and wasted pitching performances, quite frankly. And Coach Bratton told the team a story about, you know, just priming the pump and just continuing to put in the work and the water's going to rise. And just because we're not seeing the results yet, it doesn't mean they're not going to show up for us. And, you know, we really just kind of locked back in and just in the way we were practicing a little bit, it really just made it simple. You know, just tried to take some of the pressure off and the overthinking of just go out there and do what you're here to do. A little bit more attack mindset instead of, you know, being a little passive in the box. And we just really bought into that and practiced that week after week after week. And I think we started to see it show up for us last week and then really over the weekend and really the toughest environment it could.
Are you guys the villains this week? You knocked out the Oklahoma. You knocked out the team that's, you know, from this state. Are you worried that you guys are wearing the black hat a little bit?
No, not at all. We're embracing the underdog role. We're David. You know, we've got another giant in front of us. And, you know, I think we're just really excited. And we think everybody's in our corner right now. And we, honestly, either that or we wanted to kind of count us out, one or the other.
You got the Starkville versus everybody shirt on. So I guess that'll go along with that. All right, one more thing. If you win the national title, you got to come back on the podcast.
Deal. Let's
deal. Do it. All right. Coach Samantha Ricketts in Oklahoma City. Good luck to you this week as you try to bring your first national title to Mississippi State.
Thank you. Hail State.
We'll wrap it up with a little football when we come back. Kickoff times are now available for week 1, 2, and 3. I think State got some good ones. We'll do it when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live on Super Talk Mississippi.
For all your glass needs.
Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Just for the record, I did tweet out a link earlier. If you want to check my Twitter, you can get those an underdog is still a freaking dog t-shirts shipped right to your door. So please check that out on Twitter. Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Want to remind you guys that tomorrow, Thunder and Lightning will be live at Bordertown Pizza and Pints here in Starkville as we get ready to start the Starkville Regional. We'll be joined by former Diamond Dog Cole Gordon. Carlo Barone will be there with me as well. We're going to have a great time. Come out, get some pizza, get something, and you know, we have some giveaways. I've got some cool stuff to give away. Come check it out. We'll be live again tomorrow, 1 to 2 at Bordertown Pizza and Pints. Hey, speaking of times, Mississippi State football announced, or the SEC, I guess I should say, announced three times today. Three kickoff times for everybody in the Southeastern Conference. Actually, State got four, technically. Well, although we already knew that State was playing an 11 a.m. game on Black Friday against the Ole Miss Rebels. But week one, two, and three are out, and honestly, about as good as you could hope for. 6:30 kick for week one against Louisiana Monroe. A night kickoff on the hottest, you know, the day that's going to be the hottest. That game could have literally been any time because it's not a really strong week one schedule. That game could easily have been 1 o'clock or 2:30 or something like that, or even 11 a.m. Getting it at night is a big win for State. 2:30 kickoff against Minnesota. That game, of course, being played in Minnesota on CBS. I've been laughing about State getting a CBS 2:30 kick. It only took the CBS, the Big Ten going to CBS. Now that the Big Ten's on CBS, you can play State there, I guess. So, again, I think that's a good spot for State. You know, you're playing on the road, middle of the day. It's not going to be super hot. Should be fine. And then, honestly, to me, the biggest win of the three is getting South Carolina at 3:15. Now, that'll be 4:15 Eastern, obviously. But you did not – South Carolina – during the day versus South Carolina at night are like two different stadiums. South Carolina at night is one of the top atmospheres in all of college football. South Carolina in the day is just another stadium. It really is. So those are, you know, and those two games for Mississippi State, I mean, that's the whole season. You know, ULM, you know, sorry if you're a Warhawks fan and you're listening, but I think State will win that game easily. The other two games are just, they're the whole season. If you're 2-0 after that, if you can win those first three games, you're just off and running, and you're going to feel really good about where Jeff Lebby has the program headed. If you're 2-1, you're going to be like, all right, well, let's see what happens here week four against Missouri and how we think the team will be after that. If you're 1-2, the season is over. And Jeff Lebby's tenure at Mississippi State is probably over as well. Massive early season games for Mississippi State. Absolutely massive. Somebody asked, I missed sports talk. Did y'all get a laugh out of Juracek's complaint letter? We did. We did. As we said, if you're a fan of the show Mad Men, that's what the money's for. So, yes, we did get a kick out of that. So, yeah, I think, you know, for State, they couldn't have done much better, right? Yeah, would you? I mean, maybe an hour later on kickoff for ULM, get the sun all the way down maybe, but this is about as good as it could have hoped for. Man, it was nice to see kickoff times today, by the way. I agree with somebody texted the C Spire text line earlier today, and they said, college football sucks except for the games. You're right. Everything else about this sport is awful. The people who are in charge of it, the rules that are made to govern it, everything about this sport is awful, but the games are the best thing going. And so we continue to watch them, and we will continue to watch them. But this weekend, we're going to be watching college baseball. Hope you're coming to Starkville. If you are coming to Starkville, you know, if you see me out and about, please do that. Also, I forgot to mention, post-game live, Thunder and Lightning post-game live will be back. I'm going to follow it all the way to the end. So whenever State gets eliminated, that's the last one. We're going to have post-game live every game. The only exception is going to be Friday because it's a 1 o'clock first pitch. Sports Talk Mississippi on the air at 3. I got to be in studio for the show, so we'll go right after. So 6:05 Friday, post-game live will start then. And of course, you never know. It could be a 25-inning game, and could be just right when the game ends. You never know. But after that, you know, be a late night on Saturday in all likelihood if State's in the winner's bracket. But we will have Thunder and Lightning post-game live. So if you haven't subscribed already to the Super Talk YouTube channel, do that now. And you'll get notifications when we go live, and we'll have a lot of fun, and we'll talk some Mississippi State baseball. Like I said, we'll go the whole way. Whenever State goes all the way to the national championship, we'll do post-game lives all the way through that. So, should be a lot of fun. I'm excited to see postseason baseball back in Starkville. It's been too long. That stadium was built to hold these kind of games. It was built for Mississippi State to host postseason baseball. For too long, people tried to tell us that, you know, we were doing the best we could. Mississippi State was not doing the best it could in baseball. It still may not be doing the best it can. There may be even more. But getting regional play back in Starkville was a great first step, and I'm excited to see it out there. And so excited to see you guys at Diddy Noble Field this weekend. For Rhino down in Studio X, who has once again masterfully brought this show to a complete and total halt, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Hope to see you tomorrow at Borgtown Pizza and Pints.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.